It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Access of Easy, number 352. My name is Joey. That's Len, buddy. What is going on over there?
Same old, except there's no golf today.
What is with that? It's a beautiful day. I was surprised to hear you say you rained out or not going. What is that?
Yeah, so somebody, one of the golf guys can't make it, and so I just toppled the whole thing over. Up playing tennis with him later on. He had to go to a funeral, so he couldn't block off, you know, full 5 hours. So it's okay. Tennis afterwards is fine.
And that's gonna be good. It's morbid, but you know,
you're at the age where you're going to a lot of weddings.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly getting to the
we're
point
not
where...
that far apart. What do you
mean? Yeah. God. So that's getting closer to it.
So what is it? You go from birthday parties to weddings to funerals, and then you get a little bit of a lull, and then you die. Is that like the way this goes?
Something like that. Yeah. See, there is a gap because, you know, my sister and my brother-in-law, they're each, it's like Daniela's brother is like 5 years younger, and my sister's 10 years younger than I. So there's still some things going on that are younger. Like, you know, we got stuff going on at this weekend, for instance, that, you know, generally is applying to younger crowds. So yeah, there you go. So we encompass the whole spectrum right now.
I love it. Okay. Anyway, back on track here. Last week's quote, peace is not absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. That's from Ronald Reagan. No one
would have guessed that.
Not me, that's for sure. And obviously no one else either. This week's quote, I know who this week's quote is by. Core memory of mine from grade 9. Change before you have to. If you know who it's by, put it in the comments. No searching, no Googling. You guys know the deal. Don't pervert the process. And if you get it right, Mark will comp you your next renewal, which is awesome. So, Len, we almost got away with four stories this week. Tomas added a late entry, so we're up to five stories.
And no, I think it's six.
Six, I should say. Yeah, sorry. And it looks like you'll be dunking on me one more time over Apple. So where do you want to start?
Does it change? You know what? The dunking, I don't think it's specific to Apple because there was a vulnerability in the Apple's Wi-Fi positioning system. And this was discovered by researchers very recently. So in a nutshell, the system is designed to help devices determine their location by using Wi-Fi signals. So they check for the number of Wi-Fi signals that are available. And it does this by checking, you know, the routers that are nearby, the strength of the signals to those routers, stuff like that. And that helps determine the location of where they are. And this isn't just specific to Apple. Google does the exact same thing. So everybody that has this type of stuff, it's available on their phone. So it's not just an Apple thing. But either way, researchers found that they could track the user location of the Apple users by exploiting the way the Apple system works. And Apple system sends a list of known Wi-Fi networks to the user devices. And so they're building this network over time. Everybody does it. Google does the same thing, by the way. And this list includes the MAC addresses of the nearby routers. This is this very specific address that's unique to each router. Every computer has one too, and every Wi-Fi has one. But so they use that to design for each network device to define where they are. And by collecting these MAC addresses, they're able to assess a large number of devices, all these Wi-Fis, these routers, and researchers were able to build a database of the Wi-Fi network locations. And the researchers then were able to query Apple's system for data on specific MAC addresses. And this allows them to track the location of the devices and also which devices they connected in the network. So in total, they're able to track nearly 500 million Wi-Fi networks. What the problem is, this vulnerability could expose where people's movements are. It could track people's movements, including what happens in crisis zones. And there's an option here. There's a way to opt out for the data collection service. It's not done by the phone, from what I understand. It's done by the router itself. So if you do run a router, you could add the string underscore nomap, one word, N-O-M-A-P, to the end of the SSID of your network. And this will make sure that it's not going to be added to the data collection service. And also, it doesn't add to Google's collection service. But like, really, you can simply just hide your MAC address. That's probably the, sorry, your SSID. That's the best way to do it, opt out. But that's my opinion. But yeah, this is just a vulnerability within the Apple's ecosystem. But to be honest, they're collecting data the exact same way Google's doing it. So this vulnerability may have been exposed within Apple. It's just a matter of time before the same thing is done within Google. The thing that people care, we'll see if they change their habits. We'll see.
I don't know what to say. Yeah, it's like, if I look at the last, I don't know, what, 2 months, 3 months, something like that, of Apple stories, both on Access of Easy and in sort of the broader market, what is there to be hyped about over at Apple right now?
I'm not an Apple user, so it's hard for me. You're the wrong person to ask.
I am, and I was a big Apple shareholder too. I am no longer a big Apple shareholder. But, you know, I look at like the way that these guys have treated the devices. They seem to be all flash, no function at this point. I really do like my iPhone. I still think the iPhone is the best mobile device on the market, but that's more a product of Google's stuff heading downhill and no other real competition popping up than it is of innovation on Apple's part. And then I look at stuff like this, and you didn't even mention the AirTags thing, like AirTags and low power Bluetooth, which is like the sort of mesh.
That's where they create their network. That's essentially how they, and you could send devices without even being connected to the internet.
And like, it's great, but look at the vulnerabilities it creates. You know, like, and you know, this is, I know you said the sort of a router level fix, but man, no one's going to do that. It should be on Apple to fix this stuff, not on you as the user. I don't think. And, you know, there's been no announcement, no nothing from Apple on this. And like you said, the query is toward Apple, not toward, you know, any product you have. It's just, I'm not happy about this. I don't think anyone should be happy about this, you know, because everyone uses those services from Apple. Apple was on, this is this year or last year. No, it might have been even before that, actually. This like SOS location services thing. Like everything they do is based on these location services, whether it's targeting ads, using maps, contextual stuff in your iMessage window. And they're leaving it vulnerable. I mean, there's a better word than vulnerable, but they're leaving it vulnerable to people. And I just, it's disappointing, man. What's going on over there? I don't know. Clearly the company is like losing its footing a little bit. But again, they're lucky that nothing else has popped up. I actually was listening to All In a couple of weeks ago, the podcast, and Sachs made a good point that companies like Apple, Google, Facebook, they can make so many mistakes because their monopoly power is so large and their user base is so faithful. But man, you got to think at this point they're pushing the limits here. Or maybe not. Maybe we're just plugged into this stuff and no one else even knows. You know what I mean? That's the other side of the coin. That's possible too.
Joey, you've read these stories. You see where the trend is going. Are you going to change the fact that you're going to own an Apple device? Are you going to go purchase something else in disgust or for any other reason? Or are you still going to stick with Apple device? And depending your answer, think about it. You're the one reading this. Imagine that a normie. What are they going to do? The reason that what Norby's going to do is nothing. What are you going to do? I'm nothing. Curious.
Nothing.
Nothing. So, I mean, I was suspecting that was the case. So the thing is, Joey, this is concerning, but it's not concerning enough.
I know. It's below my line, as the meme goes.
Something
right?
Is the code
another all in meme.
When something really concerns you enough, you make a change. Until that point, this is a nothing burger in the end. And this sad reality is just nothing burger.
Yeah,
and just we'll do more of these stories, but it's going to apply also to Google as well. When what are people going to do? It's a nothing burger. Nobody cares. So yeah, they can do whatever they want. Nobody's going to change
it. There's no consequences. Yeah, you're right. They're sort of beyond it, right? Anyway,
there are, you know, just look for options. There are some out there. You know, it's just trade offs for it, and even the trade off those options aren't perfect, but they're at least a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Treasury, let's talk about them because, sanctions have been placed by the Treasury Department on the creators of 911 S5. I don't like that name. I don't like it at all. Anyway,
it doesn't really roll off the tongue. It's a 1 out of 5 for me. I don't know where it sits for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so like 9-1. So Jinping Liu, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's one of the guys there. And Yunhee Wang. So anyways, these are the guys we're dealing with. But anyways, this 911S5 is a proxy service. What is this proxy service? Well, it allows users to route their internet traffic through another computer, and it's effectively masking their IP address. We used to do proxy servers like decades ago. Like this is something we haven't really talked about, or I haven't done in a very long time. Either way, so this can be useful for legitimate purposes such as protecting privacy or accessing geo-restricted content. However, proxy services can also be abused by cyber criminals to hide their identities and activities. So 911S5, they allowed users to route their internet traffic through a network of infected computers around the world. And this service, known as a botnet, was particularly attractive to cyber criminals, making it difficult to track down the source of the malicious activity. So the creators of 911S5, they were caught, and the financial crimes were thrown against them, and that's what they're being accused of. So the Treasury Department are saying that they're money laundering through real estate purchases, a whole bunch of things, and these guys are going to get taken through the ringer as a result. So too bad, so sad for them, but that's all I got to report.
Me, I don't really have much to add to that, but I will say that it's funny that, you know, we're obviously in the Bitcoin space. I don't know if you feel the same way, but reading this story, when I see stuff like money laundering as the key charge, it makes me almost not believe that it's true at this point because of the stuff I've seen in Bitcoin, right? It's kind of a Gelman amnesia type situation where, you know, they accuse certain Bitcoin services of money laundering and they massage the definition of what money laundering means in order to like pin somebody down. Is the same thing happening here, you think? I don't know. There's not enough details to say, and Krebs doesn't often report on anything Bitcoin related. So I don't think he's really looking at it through that lens, but it does give me a little bit of pause in a way that it never did before. I can't be the only one.
Yeah.
How do you know? Right. Clearly Chinese companies, I would even venture to say like individuals can be targeted by the United States in a way that maybe they've never been targeted before because of the tensions, but I don't know. It's a little bit foggier for me now than it was 2 months ago. I don't think I'm the only person who thinks this way. I think a lot of people are starting to think this way.
Yeah, the targets are being put on a lot of people's backs, and people are starting to take notice. But what are people going to do?
Nothing. Right? Like, I mean, you can't do much about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't avoid it. So it's like I say, too bad, so sad. Hopefully, we're not going to be caught in the crosshairs here as Bitcoiners. But really, what can I say? Let's talk about a ransomware group called Black Suit.
Mm.
You know, this is decent. I'm not going to say it's great. It's maybe 2.5, 3 out of 5. I'll give it Black Suit. Nothing spectacular, but not terrible.
It's original. It sounds a little too much like something you would have seen. Like it sounds like the sort of evil plot in a Pierce Brosnan Bond movie. But I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 too. Black Suit.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's good. It does seem like Bondish.
Yeah,
that's a really good analogy. So anyways, Black Suit, they're known for targeting companies in critical sectors to maximize their financial gains. And they utilize a combination of tactics, including double extortion methods to infiltrate victim systems. And the method involves encrypting a victim's data and then threatening to release it to the public unless a ransom is paid. And the attackers may also steal data and threaten to sell it on the dark web if the ransom is not paid. So that's the double extortion method. And a specific attack was carried out by Black Suit, where they were able to gain access to a victim's network through a VPN. And I use a VPN, and I'll even say which one it is. It's Mulvad. I suggest people out there use a good VPN if you have not already done so. Also, keep it up to date. Do your research on what's a good one. I like Mulvad. I'm not going to say you should use it too. Of course, you know, do your own research, but it tends to have a good reputation either way. So they're able to exploit the VPNs, and they're using a tool called Black Suit was using a tool once they got into the network called PS Exec, and that's to move laterally across the network. And PS Exec is a legitimate tool that allows administrators to remotely execute commands on other computers. And attackers were able to abuse this to move laterally through the network and gain access to additional systems. And after gaining access to user accounts, they compromised them, infiltrated the data, got it from the victim's network. And in terms of what was taken, there's not much specific that we could get, but it could have included sensitive information like financial records, personal data, intellectual property. But yeah, this is pretty damning stuff. And it's all due to the fact that people are using terrible VPN products. So I'm just going to go to, that's the root of this all. And I just want to highlight, if people are using one, make sure A, it's up to date, and B, it's reputable. If not, you're going to get hacked or potentially hacked. And these guys unfortunately did.
Pretty jokes that people are still having problems with like password related stuff from the article. Okay. This is the interesting thing to me. The black suit attack observed in April began when a threat actor gained VPN access to the customer's environment through a valid account, likely using credentials that were brute forced or accessed in a password dump. Len, if you end up in a data breach and your password gets dumped on the internet, you deserve to know. This is the key, right? So when you say that you got to pick a reputable VPN provider, a reputable VPN provider doesn't allow the password breach to happen, but if it does, they tell you. Right. And, you know, these guys obviously kept this data private or kept the leak private. Also, little stuff like location-based logins. Like, I have a hard time believing that the jurisdiction in which the account, this valid account, quote unquote, was accessed is the same one where the person was registered, you know? And like VPN services are supposed to have that sort of location stuff really pinned down, really cut, dry, clean, obvious. They know what they're doing on that front. It's avoidable, I think, is the word I would use for this, both by the provider and even by the user at the end of the day. And neither really lived up to their expectations on this front for this story. And you get the same result. It's the same result every week. Yet people who don't use proper passwords, people who don't use proper security, companies that don't report on incidents until it's too late, and then they have no choice but to report when someone gets pwned. Standard, man. It's the access of easy flow chart, basically. Like, we see this every week, multiple times a week. Just don't do this stuff if you're one of these companies. Fess up to it, get better. People appreciate that, by the way. Like I said, sort of on the Apple and Google side, I appreciate, you know, even though I'm not going to switch phones as Apple continues to, you know, its steady decline, the other providers are not doing anything better. Like, you know, if you're a company that gets hacked and loses data, all you have to do is respond more promptly and in a more complete fashion than other providers who would not have done that. And you still are better off. But if you do nothing and you get found out later, you wind up in the podcast, right? Easy stuff to sort of figure out, but they just never, you know, they never do. They never do.
Yeah. You know, Mulvet, you get issued an account. Mm-hmm. It's 16 numbers and it's randomly generated. That's your account number.
Nice.
So good luck hacking that. Yeah, yeah. So it's anyway.
And so like you can't reuse account, you know, credentials and stuff like that. Like, it's stuff like that's so simple, but no one does it, right? Like you always say, people are constantly sacrificing convenience for security, or the other way around, I should say. This is another example of that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Discord.
Sure.
And there's a recent surge in malware and phishing attacks that's taking place on Discord. And cybersecurity researchers found that over 50,000 malicious links were placed on Discord in just the last 6 months alone. And phishing attacks are common tactics that are used by cyber criminals to trick users into downloading malware or giving up personal information. And these attacks often involve sending users deceptive messages that appear to be from legitimate sources, and they think they're coming from trusted members on Discord, like a friend or whatever. These messages contain links. When clicked, downloads the malware and goes on the user's device, and it steals personal information, damages file, takes control of the device, all that stuff. And they also mentioned that they're taking advantage of what's in Discord called Discord Nitro, and this is a way to lure users in. And Discord Nitro is a premium subscription services that offers a number of benefits, such as animated avatars and custom emojis. It's all fluff. That's really all it is.
Yeah, but it's a niche thing. Like, if you want to know who Discord is geared toward, it, you know, that's basically the same as like in-game cosmetics. They know what their target audience is. Sure. And people buy it. Yeah.
and to click on these links is too bad. But so they're offering up the promise of this free Nitro in exchange for the user's login information or credit card details. People give it up. And yeah, so it's likely that this is targeting Discord because there's a large segment of the United States population that is on Discord.
Yes.
And but still people need to be, you know, aware of what's going on. Don't click on stuff. Don't get suckered in for free Nitro, even if you want it. Like, it's trash. I use Discord. We have our Canadian Bitcoiners podcast server on there that we talk, or channel on there. We talk about the number of different things related to Canadian Bitcoiners.
There's people dropping phishing links in that, you know, or trying to impersonate us even in that chat. That's like a small petri dish of, like, you know, a little community that we have. And still,
and that's like, so common. So the impersonation is just, it's rampant throughout Discord. That's a problem. You get sent a request for a friend request or whatever. People are aware. Thankfully, the people in our channel, they're aware of what's going on. They don't fall for it, but there's a lot of suckers, unfortunately, that are falling for it. And Discord seems to be like the best place to do that. So yeah, if you're on it, be careful.
Yeah. 50,000 messages is really, it sounds like a big number at first glance, but if you look at the number of servers, there's, you know, it's hard to pin down exactly how many quote unquote like communities there are on Discord, but the number is between like 20 and 30 million. So 50,000 spam attempts or phishing attempts in 6 months is really not that many. I'd be curious to know what the trend looks like there over the years. Is it going up or is it going down? The other thing, Len, that I really am surprised by, Discord is niche enough that it's kind of hard to imagine someone who has Discord manages to like figure out the server invites, use the interface, which is not that easy. It's definitely not as easy as like the PSN chat or the, you know, Blizzard chat if you play Diablo, or the Age of Empires chat and voice if you play Age of Empires. I have like a small window of vision here. Obviously, I don't play that many online games, but that's a pretty tech-savvy group. The only thing I can think is that there's also a lot of young people there, like kids. Are they the ones who are getting dinged by this? I don't know. I have a hard time believing that this is like a good pot of people to fish into. Because it seems like they're like the terminally online bunch, right? These guys have the intrinsic, you know, digital literacy that's missing so often from the people targeted in the stories we cover. Most of the time it's older people or people who are kind of using standard stuff like Amazon or their bank, online banking or whatever, right? But for this group, it seems weird that they're, you know, that there's a legit phishing community in this boat. I don't get it. Hey. I honestly don't get it. Because, like, think about it. Like, you and me are online all the time. I hate Discord because it's so counterintuitive. Like, it's just a crappy interface. And so I don't ever use it. But if you were using it, presumably you'd be able to navigate that. And to navigate it, you'd have to, like, look up how to navigate it and all these things. I mean, I don't have to go through the whole process. But come on. That can't be the best place to spend your time if you're fishing for passwords, can it?
There's active communities. That's a lot of gamers go on there.
Yeah.
A lot of gamers go on there. So that's probably it. And, you know, if
I don't
young
know.
Guy or gal looking for, you know, free Nitro. Yeah, I want it. Here, take my credit card.
Do you really need the animated avatar, Anon? I'm not sure. Do you really need it? Do you really need the extra average, character right? limit? You know, I don't think so. How many characters do you need to say GG after you stomp somebody out in Age of Empires? Only two. Only two.
Well, you have to get the teabag emoji. And if you don't have that, you're not lead enough. I wonder if Discord has that.
I gotta look and see if there's a teabag emoji on Apple right now. They'll probably get rid of it.
Let's not go into this. But let's talk about a 31-year-old man, and his name is Malachi Mullings.
I think Malachi, probably, not Malachi.
Malachi? I don't know. I have no clue. Sandy Springs, Georgia. So he's from, you know, the deep south. Anyway, he's 31 years old. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison for laundering money through email scams. And he used a variety of cyber crime tactics to steal money from his victims, including what is called BEC attacks and romance scams. So BEC attacks, this is business email compromise attacks, and it's a type of scam that targets business by impersonating a legitimate company or executive. And in a BEC attack, the scammer will send an email to a company employee that appears to be from a trusted source, such as a CEO or vendor. And the email will often request the employee to transfer money by wire to a fraudulent account. Didn't Coinbase go through something like this?
They just had this, that interview. You know, if people listening to this haven't heard the interview with June Seth and the social engineering savant teenager. Yeah, you know, big services go through this kind of stuff all the time. This is not the first. It certainly won't be the last.
And romance scams, they involve tricking victims into sending money based on a fake online relationship.
How is your trade going with the, you know, Asian Barbie doll looking AI generated photo? I love that. God, what a great scam.
The scammer will create a fake online profile and pretend to be interested in developing a relationship with the victim, just randomly cold emailing or DMing them. Oh yeah, how's your trade going?
The dating scene is not what it used to be. You know, Tinder is causing Pareto problems for many men.
But this takes, I think, some time because you have to gradually build up trust with the person. And so you have to remember details. So this is probably more intricate in terms of executing it. And either way, the van, in this case, used a variety of methods. And so he laundered the money he stole from victims, and he created fake companies and bank accounts to move the money around. And he also used the stolen money to buy expensive items for himself. And he was, you know, selling some of the information, how he was doing this comic tactic to cyber criminals. So he was actually using this information and selling this and how he was doing it to other people. But this guy's a real piece of work. Good thing I mispronounced his first name. I'm still going to call him Malachi, whatever.
Malachi?
Malachi. He's still Malachi. I don't care. To me, he's that. And he's always going to be that. But, you know, he's going to have one shot. Maybe he's, you know, don't drop the soap because it's gonna be a tough 10 years for him. And
you see in the article, it says it together with his co-conspirators, he did this. Who are his co-conspirators?
They don't mention it.
I know. Like, so what is it? He's running like polyamorous relationship scams. Like, you know, there's multiple people like entering into this like degenerate triangle of sexual tension. What's going on? To the tune of, okay, this is great. Together with his co-conspirators, Mullings engaged in financial transactions designed to conceal the fraud proceeds and use some of the proceeds to purchase luxury items. Here's a good way to stay incognito if you're ripping people off. This included a Ferrari that was purchased after obtaining $260,000 from a romance scam. Listen, I am positive that there are two good ways to get caught committing crime. One is posting on Twitter and TikTok about your newfound riches and lifestyle. The other is buying a Ferrari. I think Ferrari and Lambos and Ferraris are the easiest way to get caught because no one's got them. And if you're driving around in a Ferrari and you're living in like a, you know, 1,000 square foot house in the southern United States, well, you know, you may just raise some eyebrows with the powers that be, Malachi. So
could you imagine you have like a 20-something-year-old Volkswagen?
Dude, it's crazy. And like that, the June Seth interview, the kid is like, yeah, we're going to get, like, my buddy's going to get caught. He's 18. He just bought a fucking, he just bought a McLaren. Like, what kind of kid is 18 years old driving around a $500,000 car? The answer is none, zero. There is no like story. And so much the same for this guy. Like, suddenly this guy is driving around in a $260,000 Ferrari. No one's going to say anything. No one's going to ask, like, hey, where'd you win it? The bingo hall? Like, what are you talking about?
I've watched zero budget stories, and I've seen Wojak make it big on just a few his crypto longs.
I love zero budget stories. That's the best channel on YouTube. I used to watch that before we did CBP because I was just like sitting around waiting. Oh, God. Those cartoons are the best. They're the best.
I like what they're still doing it.
I know. I don't watch it as often as I used to, but I still get a laugh out of it every time.
I enjoy it. Anyways, let's keep moving this thing along. This is the bonus story, Ticketmaster hack. And there was a massive data breach that exposed the personal information of millions of Ticketmaster users. And hackers are claiming they have stolen the data, and it's totaling around 560 million people in total. And this could potentially lead to a wave of identity theft, financial fraud, and other cyber crimes. And the exposed data reportedly includes a treasure trove of sensitive information, including the names, addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, and even some payment methods. And of course, this is causing people some major concerns because they could easily impersonate people and just go to town with all that information. And this isn't an isolated incident with Ticketmaster. And they have a history of cybercrime or cybersecurity woes. And in the past, Ticketmaster was hacked by a rival company, and they were forced to admit that their ticketing system was vulnerable to automated bots that could scoop up tickets before real users had a chance to get them. And you know what? It's too bad because they've failed to adequately address these problems, and they get hacked over and over again. And Ticketmaster, look, 560 million users, a lot of people use it. So, and it's too bad, but like we say, the onus is on them, but we're going to continually still use Ticketmaster. Not that I haven't used Ticketmaster in maybe a couple of decades, but still people, what options they have? They want to go somewhere. They're not going to buy it on Craigslist or Kijiji. These tickets are going to be scam tickets. They got to try to get away from the source like Ticketmaster. But you know what? You want to go watch that concert? You got to give up your information, and who knows? Maybe you get hacked in the future and somebody will impersonate you and screw you over in the end. But it's too bad for people that use Ticketmaster.
Okay, I love the name of the group who compromised the data, Shiny Hunters. Do you know what that's a reference to?
Is that a Sega Genesis game?
No, it might be. I think it's a reference to Pokemon, though. There's a random RNG in the newer games. I say newer, probably like any game that's less than 20 years old at this point, that you can get a quote-unquote shiny variant of a Pokemon that has like different colors on the screen. And so it's very rare that you wind up finding a shiny version of a Pokemon, even more rare that you wind up finding a shiny version of a one-time encounter during the game's sort of storyline. And so Shiny Hunters, I would imagine, is that. I would give that a 5 out of 5. I like that a lot. That really tickles my nostalgic nerve. So anyway, I asked ChatGPT here to write me a joke about the Ticketmaster breach using a Taylor Swift lyric. Do you know what it came up with?
I don't even listen to Taylor Swift, so I can't even.
I knew you were trouble when you logged in. That's very good from a chatbot. I couldn't think of one, and so usually I'm pretty quick on my feet with stuff like that, but the bot helped me. Ticketmaster sucks, okay? It's the worst part of going to a concert. Nothing is even close. I know people say Live Nation's bad. I don't know, even know if they're the same company. They may be. Ticketmaster is the worst. They make it very difficult to sell tickets on the secondary market, which is terrible. Shouldn't be allowed, honestly. Ticketmaster also, I want to note, works with labels to make sure that artists get very little from, I can't remember what the terminology is. There's like a phrase they use in the industry, but basically artists get almost nothing from parking, beer, or concessions. So you only get your ticket sales, and only a portion of your ticket sales go to the artist. So when artists sign with their labels, usually if they're a major artist who's going on a major tour, they get what's called an advance. And the advance is really to sort of fund the lifestyle and help you fund, you know, the kind of gadget acquisition regime you want to run, right? You want to buy a new hat, you want to buy a new sweatshirt, you want to look good on TV, whatever. These guys will give you the money to do that. But you basically have to sign this deal where you get, you know, very little of the proceeds outside of the ticket sales. You get very little of even the ticket sales. And on top of that, Len, you actually have to fund stuff like snacks and food and security and stuff for your tour out of pocket a lot of the time. So like Ticketmaster is not just screwing customers, but also screwing artists in a lot of ways. And obviously they're the subject of much debate, and they're under a lot of scrutiny from the United States at the moment. I think there's an antitrust lawsuit against them right now for their role in that whole ecosystem. You know, as the saying goes, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, this data breach. So most of the time I feel sympathy, but not this time. Sucks for the people that are kind of losing their data or having their data compromised, but I hate Ticketmaster with a passion. So I want to see them pay a dear price for this.
Makes me want a longer stock.
Yeah. Go long. Are they publicly traded? Live Nation is publicly traded. What's Ticketmaster going for?
It's $93.32 US dollar, and it's down.
Oh, so Live Nation is Ticketmaster, I guess. Is that true? Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, basically, I didn't realize how much like the service is crappy for the people that are artists.
Yeah, it's bad.
Whole I thought, you know, once it, you made it to Ticketmaster, you're
I mean, the whole industry is exploitative, but, you know, it's just someone is always losing. I understand that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these people who's like, everyone needs to win. We all have to be happy at the end of the day. That's not true. It doesn't jive with reality. But these guys really are making a king's ransom, being a rent seeker. And, you know, we have to see this stop. We've basically seen the evolution of all these markets in every other facet of life, stuff like eBay, Kijiji, Facebook Marketplace. You can even send people stuff, you know, digital goods online now, whether it's in a game or whatever. Obviously Bitcoin for monetary uses, but this, you know, these guys have managed to put a walled garden around live entertainment. It's ridiculous, completely ridiculous. I can't stand this company. And so, yeah, you know, too bad, so sad, too bad, so sad.
Well, let's go to the last story, I guess. It's more of an update. Yeah. And Easy URL, that's a URL shortener that's been going on for some years. And Easy DNS has gone through the process to rebuild it and to revamp it. And now you could check it out. The soft launch for the new tool, it's urltools.com. You could check it out. It's open to anybody. And you have to create a free account in order to unlock all the features. And some of the new capabilities include SSL, so you could do the redirects, the ability to add your own overlays and splash pages before destination, enhancing reports on clicks, and also, this may be big, QR codes to go with your URLs. So check it out. It's urltools.com. This is going to be a new overhaul of the easyurl.net. So if you are a user of the easyurl.net, and you're going to see that there's going to be a change over time to the new one. So check it out. Seems pretty good. I know that QR codes is a big thing, and the inclusion of this with your URL, so you could have it tied to your URL, is pretty cool. So check it out.
Mm-hmm. I like this idea. Have you gone to the website and tried to use it?
I've gone to it, just the splash page. I didn't really use it too much.
I'm on the website right now.
Did you sign up to create a free account?
Not yet, but you have to do a CAPTCHA if you don't sign up to do an account. So I tried to do CanadianBitcoiners.com and shorten it. Here's the CAPTCHA question, okay? Let's see if you know the answer. Select all images of animals that hatched from an egg. All right. Now you tell me. We got dogs, what looks to be a teapot, definitely not. Wolves or foxes, and penguins. Do any of those animals come from eggs?
Penguins, so they lay the eggs, and remember, they put them in the center, and there's this huge circle of penguins that's surrounded to keep them cold and sort of keep it warm. And they cycle whoever's on the outside of the circle. The penguins continually cycle. So you have like the, you know, when somebody gets cold, one of the penguins get cold, they cycle to the inside to stay warm. So it's just constantly like that. So yeah, it's penguins are hatched from eggs.
I like it.
It's a really cool system what they set up over there.
Yeah, I had no idea. So that's great. It worked. And yeah, the link is shortened here. Great. QR code. And if you want more customization, you got to sign up and pay. We could do one maybe like, how would we shorten our CanadianBitcoiners.com links? Something like .btc or something like that. cdn.btc/... I have to think about it.
So b.tc, I think, was taken. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
And I think that's taken by the magazine that I truly enjoy reading.
Loathe. You loathe.
They are who they are.
Listen, we're out of here. That's Access of Easy. Come back next week. Subscribe to the newsletter. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And make sure you read all the stories we didn't talk about. We are signing off. We'll see you next Friday.
Yeah, take care.